Dubai Eye
103.8. Now, all those out there listening in last week will know that we were talking about the Havaianas Sunset Open 2019, powered by Rip Curl, being held down at Nikki Beach Resort and Spa, Dubai. What that therefore did was prompt us to go, you know what? There's a couple of individuals out there who were pretty much responsible, not just for that, but the entire surf culture here in the region in recent years. So rather than cause all sorts of arguments between the pair of them, because they share that burden and responsibility, rather than try and work out who should come in and represent the surf community here, we decided to get them both in and shine a light on their achievements in recent times. They are, without a doubt, synonymous to the whole idea, the lifestyle of surfing here in Dubai. Are instrumental in growing the now thriving community across the city and the region as a whole. They pioneered Surf Dubai, community home to over 3,000 members of like-minded people with respect for the ocean and love for the sport. One was born in Sharjah in 1983 of Brazilian and Portuguese parents. The other, born in Bahrain, shortly moved to Dubai. One graduated with honours from a degree in surf science and technology in the UK in 2005, then returned to the UAE intent on spreading his passion for surfing and the ocean. The other grew up here in the UAE, lived in the same compound as his now partner and friend, a little haven right on the beach where he learned to surf. And after graduating from university on the Gold Coast, Australia, moved back to Dubai where it felt like home. Between them, they came up with Surf House Dubai and have helped to give birth. Not just to a home, but also to an entire lifestyle, a movement here in the region. It is an absolute pleasure to welcome into the studio the CEO and the COO of Surf House Dubai, Mr. Scott Chambers and Daniel Van Duren. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for being with us here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, pleasure. Good to be here.
I'm not sure how this is going to work, all right? You two know each other much better. So we're going to have to work out who's going to speak first, who's going to speak after the time, because this is a first for making tracks. But to that end, Scott, I suppose it's something that had to be done, because this has been a sort of a shared journey for the pair of you.
Absolutely, yeah. We were fortunate enough to share a very strong passion for the sea, and combining those two together, we were able to, as you said, grow a community here.
Mm. And Daniel, to your end as well, I mean, are there times that you and Scotty sort of sit back and go, wow, you know, this was something that we wanted to do for ourselves, and now look at the thousands that we cater for here in the region, the tens of thousands who keep taps on what we're doing here at the moment. It's something that's just grown so organically.
Yeah, definitely. When we first started surfing here as kids, there was probably 15, 20 of us in the water. And I remember sitting down with Scott when we first started the business, and we did a big map on the whiteboard and kind of saw, you know, what we wanted to achieve in the future. And I think we've done a lot more than that. We've got like 3,000 members, super active, you know, surf community that come down as soon as there's waves. You know, there's loads of people in the water, surf competitions. So
a lot of listeners out there will be thinking about sort of surf culture. They have their own sort of preconceptions about surf culture, and they'll think, you know, fairly laid back, fairly laissez-faire, you know, a great sort of lifestyle in many different ways. When you look to turn it into a business, though, obviously the community side is there, but when you look to turn it into a business, when you start giving your title CEOs and CEOs, et cetera, is it something that needs structure in order to get the most benefit from it?
100%. You know, before we were very much that way, the laid back kind of, yeah, you know, laissez-faire. And, you know, business went as it did. But I think it really kind of, you know, took the next step when we started structuring the business, started giving each other, you know, specific roles. Before, we used to do everything. And then we looked at our strengths, and Scott said, okay, I'm good at doing this. And then, you know, I'm good at doing something else, and then that really took the business to the next level.
And so, Scott, in terms of, you know, the community that the business caters for here, you and I have been talking about what you've been doing here for many years. I've seen that organic growth of the surf community here as well. Not being on the board, obviously, despite you trying to get us out there in years gone by. But in terms of that, have we sort of moved on, rather than just sort of catering for those that are into surfing here, is there a lot of interest coming from outside at the moment? I was just looking at the flyers for for the Haviana Surf Open at the moment. I mean, that sort of proves that there are international brands, possibly even international athletes, looking to buy at the moment.
Yeah, I think that the way the sport has grown with the inclusion of stand-up paddle as well, it's become more of just a specific sport, but very much a lifestyle, and there's so many things that surround that. So from the time someone first learns how to surf, I think it naturally lends them towards thinking more sustainably, environmentally conscious, ocean-minded, and then they start wanting to find out all the other ways that they can interact with the sport in another way. So to answer your question, I think absolutely it does have a much sort of wider radius now that encompasses a bigger sort of lifestyle idea and movement.
Daniel, right about now we start asking people about, you know, where they were born, where they grew up, etc. The fact that both of you are born here in the region, as it were, and have called this home from an early age. Maybe you can paint a picture for us of those early days when you and Scott started to sort of mess around down at CBV. And for all those out there that don't like an anagram, there are those that out there that might not have been here as long as we have. Chicago Beach Village. Paint a picture for us, Daniel.
It was the best place in the world to us. We were right on the beach. There was about maybe 60, 70 houses. And it was the place to be. It was where everyone came to party, where everyone held, you know, had their first kiss with their girlfriend. It was just a really, really good place to be. And there was a pier that went out to sea.
That's right,
and
yeah.
We used to fish off that pier, jump off the pier, and then also jump off when there were big waves.
Yeah.
So when the waves were too big, we couldn't paddle out because you have to duck dive under the waves to get out the back. We were too small, so we'd just run off the pier, jump off, catch a wave, and then just keep doing that in circles.
It's just you painted that picture, bringing back memories to me as well.
I was going to say, you remember it as well.
I do, yeah, I remember it. I mean, it was there for the first couple of years that I was here, and then sort of obviously disappeared as part of that development as well. To you, Scott Chambers, growing up in the UAE, fond memories?
Extremely fun. I think we experienced a very unique time and that upbringing. You know, we had plenty of gripes, probably that there weren't enough things to do maybe at the time. But we did have things like our surfing and our skating. And I think it was kind of a magic upbringing and that it was very safe. And we had this really nice kind of group of friends that were all drawn to the sea and similar hobbies and things. So, yeah, extremely fond memories.
Right. Listen, right about now, we ask you, well, before the show, we ask you to come up with four sonic signposts, four songs that represent your journey, fellas, here in the UAE, from then until now. Ever the Diplomats, the pair of you have chosen a couple of songs each. So I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit more about that. And in the interest of the forthcoming or the ongoing Haviana Sunset Open, we're going to flip-flop this between the two of you, all right? So we're going to start with you, Scotty, if that's all right,
sure.
And start with your selection first up, the childhood song. We ask you to come up with a song that sort of takes you back there, which instills memories of those bygone years.
Yeah, so my first track is I Feel Fine by the Beatles. And the Beatles was part of my musical education upbringing. And for most of my childhood, I felt fine. So I like the song. Good feel good tune.
This is song number one for Scott and for Daniel. They are the team behind Surf House Dubai. We'll get more from them in just a few moments.
Baby's good to me. You know she's happy as can be. You know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. Baby says she's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad that she's my little girl. She's so glad she's telling the whole world. He buys her diamond rings, you know she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's mine, you know she tells me all the time, you know she said so. I'm in love with her and I feel fine. I'm so glad it's you know. He buys a diamond ring, you know, she said so. She's in love with me and I feel fine. She's in love with me and I feel fine.
You're listening to Dubai I-103.8. You're listening to The Agenda. You're listening to Making Tracks, final hour of the final show of the week. Opportunity for us to kick back. Welcome the weekend by getting to know somebody. Well, somebody or some bodies that we think we know quite well because we've heard a lot about them, we've seen them, we've heard from them over recent years because they're pioneers in their field. And it's an absolute pleasure to have Scott Chambers and Daniel Van Duren with us here in studio. They're the brains behind Surf House Dubai, right here in Dubai, which has helped to cater for the growing surf community here and further afield. Wonderful to have the fellows with us here in studio. If you want to send your thoughts and comments to either Daniel or Scott, feel free to do so now by texting us on 4001. We went from memories of CBV, Chicago Beach Village, to now those formative years to you both as well. And we're talking, Scott, about those sort of idyllic years, the early growing up years as well. What about sort of school for you as well? Would you put yourself down as sort of a classic student? Is it something you thrived in that environment?
Classic student. Wow. Okay. I can tell you one thing. I was always thinking about what the waves are doing rather than being in class. I was from as long as I can remember, actually, from maybe the first time I caught a wave. That was the one thing that I just became obsessed about. Managed to do reasonably well, I think, in school for the most part. And yeah, one of the things thinking about growing up was my parents were good enough to let me skip class if the waves were good enough.
Wow. Okay.
At the time, it was controversial, but yeah, I thank them for it still till today. And unfortunately, my son now knows that they did that, so he keeps asking for the same, which he's not going to get, sadly. So,
and in terms of you, Daniel, the sort of education side of things. I mean, we talked a lot about the sort of pleasure and where you get your buzz from off the waves and things like that. Was that something that you felt comfortable? Did you enjoy the sort of education system here?
Yeah, it was you know, really good growing up here, going to school. Everyone knew everyone. It was a really small community. Yeah. There were three major schools, the American School of Dubai, Dubai College and English College at the time. And then you had the local school, Sui Fat. So those were the main ones. And, you know, when we played rugby against each other, that's everyone right. kind of knew each other, football. So the sports was good, you know, camaraderie. It was nice.
What really prompted fun. Your decision to head to the Gold Coast to go and for further education down in Australia?
Yeah, so the only thing that was limiting here was, you know, sports was fun, but taking it to the next level, what wasn't available here at the time. I think now you've probably got the schools with the best facilities in the world, but at the time it was very, very limited. So I got a scholarship to go to Australia to play rugby, which then I ended up rowing for the school instead. So I didn't play rugby, but... So then I did 2 years of boarding school on the Gold Coast in Australia, and I fell in love with the place. You know, the perfect waves, just the culture, the lifestyle, it was the best. So then I did 3 years of uni there. So that's kind of how the ended
and then,
up in
of course,
Australia.
The yep. road's headed back here. And for your part, Scott, as well, obviously early education here in the region and then sort of look further afield back to the UK, is that right?
Back to the UK, in the southwest. I was actually... set to study a course in business administration in Bath University. And about 3 weeks before starting that course, there was a paper that fell on the front door, and it was for this course called Surf Science. And it was a controversial article. I think there was some PM that was slating it and you know, poking holes at this new course that they'd never seen before. But gut feeling sort of told me that it was what I needed to do because that was really what, you know, what I was passionate about. So I rang up Bath and I deferred entry to that and said, call my parents as well and said, I'm going to Plymouth instead. And they were a bit surprised by all of that, but supportive nonetheless. And I went to study surf science and technology for 3 years in Plymouth.
And what a place to do it as well, down on the south coast of the UK as well. A little bit colder than it is here throughout the majority of the year. Did you have to hit the surf there as well as part of the degree?
I've got to give my hats off to the camaraderie and motivation and just stoke of the UK surfers, because even when it was 2 foot, howling wind, rain, sometimes even hail, those guys wanted to drive 2 hours to the beach to jump in the water. And I got roped along in it as well. So, yeah. We were in the water almost once or twice a week.
We have got to that point where we've worked out where both of these guys went to their university. Then, of course, Rhodes head back here. We're going to find out more about that in just a few moments' time. But it's over to you, Daniel, to tell us about your formative years song as well. I say yours as well because there's something of coincidence between the two of you that are here. Tell us about song number two.
Yeah, so formative years at the time was quite alternative rock and punk. So if I had to choose one of those, it would be Sublime, What I Got. And funnily enough, Scott and I both chose the same song, and it wasn't planned, but definitely a big part of my life at the time. So.
Let's go to song number two, not just for Daniel, also for Scott as well. We're talking to them. It is Making Tracks. You want to send your comments to the boys that have created the surf community here in the UAE. Get in touch by texting us now on 4001. And their appreciation to our two studio guests as we make tracks with Scott Chambers and Daniel Van Duren, both the CEO and COO of Surf House Dubai, respectively. Do keep your thoughts coming in. Text them now on 4001. We're taking a little trip down memory lane with the boys in terms of their memories, their lives to this date, but also those stories and songs along the way. So, Scott, let's get back from the UK. You survive Plymouth. You survive the freezing waters over there. You survive the Plymouth nightlife as well. And you head back to the warmer climes of the UAE. Was that always on the card? Was it always on the cards to come back to the UAE or not?
Yeah, the majority of my family were still there and they still are now. Yeah. So it was always like coming home again, yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of when you realised you wanted to turn your passion, but something you'd also studied as well over in Plymouth, into a business, was that fairly immediate for you?
Yeah, it just seemed like the natural path for me to follow because I had studied it, as you said, and I'd had this amazing childhood growing up, surfing here, and knowing that, you know, you could in fact surf in Dubai. It's still one of the questions that we probably answer most on a daily basis. And I'd seen how much the UK surf scene was thriving. Mm. And they had so many things against them, you know, the weather and not particularly great waves, often long drives to the coast. And I just thought, well, most of us live very near to the beach here and you do have waves. Weather's always great. So it's a perfect place to learn how to surf.
Talk to me about the beginnings of Surf House Dubai. How did it come about? Did you need to find a premises first and foremost?
Yeah, so it started off just me finding the quickest route to being able to share that experience with people. So I had a freelance license just instructing and teaching people on the beach, showing them how to ride waves. And then as the business grew and we wanted to accommodate, you know, being able to teach more and more people, we then looked to find out what kind of a business structure we could fit into. And that was one of the biggest challenges at the start because there's never been a surf company here in Dubai before. So even just the legal framework at the time, in terms of trade licenses and activities, they didn't necessarily have one to suit what we wanted to do, let alone have a commercial premises that was near enough to the beach where we had to be to properly set us up. So yeah, that was something that we kind of spent a lot of time, almost a bit of a two-way exchange and a dialogue with the government and the economic department. A little bit of an education, and yeah.
We're talking about 2005 now, are we?
2005, yeah.
That was the beginning, was it?
That was the very beginning, and then about 2007, 8, moving into taking it to the next level. Yeah.
And Daniel, for your part, you've been over in Australia, on the Gold Coast. Was it a sort of natural migration, natural progression to head back to the UAE?
Yeah, it was a tough, you know, decision because the Gold Coast was such a good life.
Drag yourself away from the Gold Coast.
Yeah, I'm, you know, happy I survived the sharks out there. But definitely Dubai was a natural progression. It just felt like home. Growing up here, family were still here at the time. And all of our friends were doing the same as us. They were going away for, you know, university, 3 to 5 years, and then they all were all coming back. So
so when you headed back, Daniel was Scott was still here. Had he set up Surf House Dubai or not?
Yeah, so I head back end of 2007,
okay.
Beginning of 2008, and Scott had already been running for two years.
And you'd stayed in contact or not, you two?
Yeah,
so whenever Dan came back for his holidays and things, you know, we were always together doing the same things again. And yeah, when Dan did come back, it was just so obvious that he was still as into surfing as I was.
Yeah.
And it was just this kind of natural gravitation towards each other again.
And is that something you wanted to do, or did you have eyes on other careers?
Yeah, no, it was always something I wanted to do. It's just, I think my parents at the time, you know, weren't supportive of it because they wanted, you know, they spent all this money in me graduating from university. They wanted, you know, me to go out there and get a real job, basically. And so I was actually, I tried a events job. I was working as events manager, and I lasted about, I think, 3 months. And yeah, and I just, like I said, you know, said to my parents, this is what I really want to do. And I think if we really put, you know, our heart and soul into this, we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Have they come around to the idea now? Yeah.
No, they don't look back. Yeah. They're super, super, you know, happy and yeah, the decision and yeah.
And was it your sort of, you talked there about the passion, the belief that, you know, and it didn't come easily. You know, you had to put in a lot of hard yards and jump a load of hurdles, but you believed in it from the beginning yourself.
100%. Yeah, we always knew it was what we wanted to do and there was potential here. And that was the best thing. No one else was doing it. So we were literally a monopoly at the time. Yeah, perseverance is one of our, you know, biggest things in the company. Never give up. If you love it that much, just keep going at it and it'll eventually happen.
So one of the things that you and I have talked about this, Scott, in the past, you know, is getting over perceptions, isn't it? Because a lot of people will look at the coast here, the seas here, and they'll go, really? I don't see much surf. You know, is that something that's going to challenge surfers of certain levels, etc.? You've proven that it can by attracting surfers from all over the globe, etc., and those that are resident here. Was part of the sort of process, not just the teaching, but also the changing of the perception of surfing here in the UAE?
Yeah, just an education in a sense of letting people know that, you know, we do have anywhere between 90 to 100 days in a season here of surfable conditions. And it's fair enough that if anyone's to go down to the beach on a typical day and they don't see waves and it's as flat as a lake, they come away thinking, well, this is a closed body of water where you're not going to get anything that you can surf on. But that's not the case. So we just carried on pushing that message. And I mean, a friend of ours that came through a couple of years back, he's a very famous surfer. His name's Rob Machado. He just recently said that 95% of surfers, they just want to ride a wave and to glide on the water. It's not about necessarily riding, you know, the longest or the biggest waves. We get a chance to do that during the summer. We travel and we kind of top up on some of the bigger waves and things like that. But a lot of the time it's just about standing up and surfboard and riding a wave. So it's not rocket science.
And when you're putting your sort of Surf House Dubai hat on as well and turning it into a business, were you conscious of the fact at the beginning, obviously you looked at it from a instructional point of view and getting more people in the water, but were you also conscious of the fact that people wanted to hang around surfers? People wanted to have a hangout. They wanted to have a cup of coffee. They wanted to have some good food. They needed equipment as well. Was there a need for that?
That was the nicest thing to see, that the moment people rode their first wave and felt that sensation. They then came back to us the next day, finding out, just wanting to know everything about the sport, how they could get better at it, whether that's doing yoga or eating better or doing any kind of other water training, but really hungry for all these other lifestyle elements. And that's when we just started bolting on those bits and pieces to facilitate that lifestyle and make it as easy as possible for people to live and breathe that, as Dan and I were doing at the time.
Gentlemen, we come to your third song, and it's back to you, Mr. C, to select this one. It is the, well, we've talked about starting the Surf Dubai, with the community here, Surf House Dubai as a business as well. Put us into context. Give us a song to take us to the next break.
So the song is Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones, and it's just, I think, a classic, amazing song. It's a big song, and it's quite controversial, and we've had a long journey that's been quite controversial.
Nothing wrong with a bit of controversy along the way, that's for sure. It is a classic. It is the Rolling Stones. It's song number three for our special guest here in the studio. We've got Scott and Daniel here talking all things surf. We're going to be moving the agenda forward to the present day and, of course, the future in just a few moments' time, and announcing a couple of winners as well. But sit back, strap yourself in, and enjoy this ride. Song number three from the Rolling Stones. Guests here in studio throughout this final hour have been Scott Chambers and Daniel Van Doren. Daniel, paint a picture for us where we are now. We've talked about the past a lot. We talked about the birth of Surf House Dubai in 2005, the growth of the community since then. I mean, just looking at some of the developments that are ongoing at the moment, we've got the Havaiana Sunset Open upon us at present. We're in the midst of the season, per se. Is that indicative of how far we've come in recent years?
Yeah, so we, you know, as we've been talking about, we just started off as a surf school, and then we opened a shop to supply everyone with the best surfing equipment around the world. And now we have a cafe as well, really simple, yummy, you know, affordable cafe where we've brought surf meal concepts from around the world. So if you travel to Indonesia and you go surfing there, their main staple kind of food would be nasi goreng.
Yeah.
And Hawaii, you'd have poke bowls, and so on and so on. So we've kind of brought, you know, all of those surf destination meals to one spot. We've definitely gone a long way, I think. And
the competition itself, is that something that is just organic here, is that open to everyone?
the competition.
The Sunset Open.
So that's open to anyone. You don't have to be a professional. As long as you can ride a wave, please feel welcome to join. The more, the better. And we have categories from the Groms, so really young kids, females. We even do a stand-up paddleboard surfing category as well now.
It's been an extraordinary growth. I'm just sort of charting the growth, Scott, of the Sunset Open. I suppose that is, it's a great sort of analogy of the growth of your business, but also the community here in recent years.
Yeah, I think it's definitely for us, it's the highlight of the year and such a fun weekend that really showcases how much that community has grown. So as Dan was saying, you have all the different divisions from the Groms and even Super Groms that's been added, which is ages 6 to 11. And that's often one of the highlights, I think, of the weekend. It's just to see these tiny little humans actually riding waves well above their head. The whole community coming together. It's an amazing atmosphere and vibe for the 2 days.
And the little cafe that served really good muffins and really good coffee has sort of grown as well, isn't it? You've got now Singlefin as well, haven't you?
That's correct, yeah, Singlefin, yeah.
What's the concept there?
I think that it was the last remaining link in this whole kind of lifestyle solution we were offering. One of our core values is healthy body, healthy mind, and respect for the ocean. So we were facing this challenge on a daily basis where we'd, you know, be in the water in the mornings, come back, have meetings, be starving every 3 or so hours. You get hungry a lot when you're paddling and surfing. And, we were scratching our heads each time to think, where can we go get affordable, good food? And we thought to ourselves, if we could do it ourselves and find the right partner to help us create that, then, you know, not just would it serve all the people that were part of this growing community, but even for us on a daily basis, we'd be better at running our business if we had access to good quality food. So it's been an amazing addition to the whole Surf House concept, yeah.
Fellas, it's been an absolute pleasure. Listen, we've got one more song to get in, not though before we've looked to the future. So in short, I mean, let's get your thoughts, Daniel, if we can first, and then move over to Scott. I mean, in terms of where we're at the moment, looking ahead to the future as well, we see development left, right and centre. We see this city exploding, which could be a good thing because there's more and more surfers coming in. There's more and more people that want to get involved. Will we always have the products to be able to do that? Do we need to do more to preserve our coastlines here?
Well, all the offshore constructions have blocked pretty much 95% of the waves. We used to get waves on the whole coast of Dubai, and then the Palm, the World, all those offshore constructions blocked most of it. So we still have some good surfing spots where Surf House Dubai is located is one of them. On the Pearl, Nikki Beach is another one. But I think what we need is a wave pool. So we can have waves with a switch.
And Scott, are you hopeful as well for the future? I mean, yeah, we focus a lot on Dubai, as does the business name, etc. But are there other places around the UAE that can be tapped into?
Potentially, yeah. There are waves on the East Coast, Oman, and even up and down on the West Coast here as well. So, if we'd be able to grow that offering and offer it to other locations, then, we'd be honoured to be able to do so.
Listen, you've done so much already to date. Long may that continue. Final question to you both as well. Scott Chambers, CEO of Surf House Dubai, brains behind the surfing community here, partner, husband, father these days. Do you still get time to surf?
I just got out of the water this morning. So, yeah, we squeeze in surfs every now and again. Yeah, we fit them in.
And Danny Van Duren as well, not only partner of a business, father of four as well. Surely you don't get any time to surf.
I've got the best wife in the world that still allows me to surf, so...
There's still time. There's always time for surf.
There's always time for surf.
Fellas, thank you so much indeed. Scott, if people want to find out more about Surf House Dubai, if they want to get started, they want to get their big toe into the water, best way to do that?
Surfingdubai.com.
Get yourself on there. Scotty, really appreciate your time. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much, Tom. Cheers.
And Daniel Van Duren, the final word goes to you. You're going to select our final song of the show as well. It's a song for the weekend as well. Which one did you go for?
So I chose the Shallow by Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Oh, look at you.
I don't know if you've ever watched A Star Is Born, but I'm obsessed with the movie. Such a real movie. And just such a powerful message. And I got a kind of newfound respect for Lady Gaga. I used to think she was a sellout. And but she's the complete opposite. She's so real. And Bradley Cooper is an absolute legend and got awesome voice as well. Enjoy.
It's a belter. Thanks for that one. Denver and Doran, thank you very much indeed to you.
Thank you very much.
Scott, thanks so much indeed to you.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Zina Zalamea, thank you very much indeed to you.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
And all the team back at house. We won't be here tomorrow. It's a Friday, but thank you all the same. Join us on Sunday.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'm falling. In all the good times I find myself longing for change. And in the bad times I fear myself.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore? I'm falling. In all the good times I find myself.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.